What up, everybody? It's your main man, Spice Adams, bringing to you another edition of Off the Grid. This time, I get to travel to Los Angeles to have a conversation with my guy, Boss Everline. Check it out.
My dude, man.
My brother, what's up, man?
I appreciate you, man.
I'm good. Appreciate you, bro. How you feel?
Yeah, man. I'm good, man. This is Off the Grid.
Yeah.
Your homeboy, Spice Adams. I'm here with my dude. Boss Everline. What's up, man?
Man, nothing. Life is good, man. I'm very blessed. Yeah. With the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm. I'ma just kick it off, man. Yeah. Like, how and why did you want to become a trainer? Like, how did that happen?
I didn't want to become a trainer.
You didn't.
I did not want to become a trainer. So despite what everybody believes or what would know about me, I wanted to be an NFL football player. Pursued an NFL dream, didn't go as planned. You know, I got a long list of, you know, first cousins and family members that played in the league. And so that was what I grew up around. I'm from Texas and kind of dove into, like, you know, I thought that was life. And my cousin, Dwight Johnson, Derek's older brother, I was training, trying to go to the league. And then he had retired. And he was in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta. He was like, man, I'm gonna open up this gym. Yeah. I'm like, I'll help you out while I go through this process of trying to figure out what's next for me. Yeah. And while I was helping him out, that was a woman. And I've told this story that it was always fun for me that was a woman particularly that made me understand that was my calling in life. And she had told me I changed her life so she could be healthy enough to have a baby, to get pregnant. Right. And so, because I didn't ever understand it. I was just barbaric. I was just in a gym putting people through football workouts. And I'm like, man, you know, that's just what it was for me. It was one intensity level. Yeah. So I was in there kicking people's ass.
And also, not much has changed.
Well, a little bit. I'm tailored myself. Oh, okay. I know how to walk in with different people, but you're an athletic mindset guy, athlete mindset guy. So, but no, I didn't want to be a trainer, man. And then I think what I started to understand was I saw upward potential. Got a call from a Canadian football team, and at that time, I was like, man, is this going to work or not? And I made the decision to stay back. I was like, if I go and leave these people that have counted on me, I was about a month in of really training. And I was like, I'm going to leave, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get cut or this opportunity may not work.
Yeah.
Then I've abandoned the people that have trusted me. I was like, let me just give my all to this. And I really didn't know what I was doing, man, to be honest. I was just like stepping out on faith and really trying to figure out what my next step would look like. And that's really where it came from.
And this was all in Atlanta?
All in Atlanta. I'm from Houston, but right. I refused to go back home. That was one of my things.
Yeah.
I refused to, when it was all said and done, I was like, I can't go home to the comfort. Mm-hmm. I can't go back to that place where there's so many people that'll say it's okay. I didn't need to hear it's okay. I needed to be in a grind mode. And you hear the stories about, you know, there's along this journey, I've slept in my car, I've had bad relationships, but I don't say that. Like, you hear people, oh man, I did that. And they try to start it from the bottom here where I'm at today. That was real for me, but I never cried about it. My own family didn't know what I was going through at the time because I didn't want to be a victim. You know what I mean? I wanted to be a victor. So I was literally living that space because I had, and you know, the answers weren't there. You know what I mean? To be quite honest, I'd be lying to you if I told you I had the answers. I was just like, I'm going to just wake up every day and just figure this out. And so it was the 5 a.m. workouts. It was, you know, boot camps. It was group fitness. It was speed and agility, sports performance, because that's what I was in every day, helping athletes. You know, I had Super Bowl champs. I mean, Atlanta, my cousin, we had connected through everybody, my whole family. You know, so there was this credibility for people coming to us. And so I had access, I just did not want to be a trainer. I would refuse to be a trainer. But then, you know, you settle in, and I was like, this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. So you mentioned 5 a.m. workouts. Like, so what time do you normally wake up?
Well, I used to wake up at, you know, like 4:15, 4:30, go 5 a.m. workouts until.
So what time do you lay down, like, to go to bed?
No, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock. Yeah. but let me tell you what changed my mind. And I'm going to tell you why I wake up now at 3:30 in the gym at 4. And the shift was, you know, listening to a Kobe Bryant interview, and he was talking about his workout regimen and how his mindset is disciplined. He signed a contract with himself to be committed to what he said he was going to do. And he said he wakes up at 3, he's in the gym at 4, he works from 4 to 6, comes home, he's able to do all these things to be a parent, go back to the gym, work out. And so at that moment, I realized that I needed to do a little bit more, right? Yeah. Because a lot of times we tend to see success and we think that we got it. You're talking about a guy that had already won championships and still sitting on the stage talking about he's committed to the 3 a.m. wake, you know, 3:30 wake up to the 4 a.m. gym.
It's a lifestyle.
And that changed my mind. I'm like, yeah, you know, for me, it's like, I want to be guilty by association of certain of good habits, right? You know what I mean? That's what it was for me. It was like, no, I want to be guilty of association. I want to be, a lot of times people don't understand, like, you are who you hang around or what you conceive or what you bring. And so if I consume myself with Kobe, that's who I'm around, right? Yeah. And I'm listening to those positive impacts. And so I'm always striving to kind of continue to push that mental barrier. It gets me in a lot of trouble at home because my wife is like, hey, sometimes I don't want to hear the positive. She's a very positive human, but I'm always solution-based oriented. Like, just let me be mad, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, so, you know, but that's life.
Well, talk about your wife, man. How, because you got to be like ultra supportive to do the things that you do.
Yeah,
you know what
man.
I mean? Like you waking up at 3 a.m. and, you know, you servicing all of these different people. But, you know, you got to find the energy, and the same energy that you put into this is the same energy you got to put into the relationship with your wife and now your son. So,
yeah, man.
How do you balance that? And how cool is your wife with
my wife? The time is that very, sorry to cut you off, but my wife is very, very cool. Very thankful, 11 years in. And I would say that it always wasn't this easy, but you know, she came in when I've been gone more than I've been home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Traveling to Saudi Arabia, you know, I do business in Saudi. And so fortunate enough to be able to be on movies and do the things that we've been able to do. And so she's been able to experience a lot of that. But I think we're at a new point of our life where we have 3 boys, right? And we're exploring these new things. And so there's the sacrifice of time. But I think I've learned that there is no balance when it comes down to like, the pie chart, right? It's when I'm at 100% at work, I'm 100%. When I'm trying to be a husband, I need to be 100% that. Mm-hmm. I need to be 100% dad. And that may be a segment of 10% of the life at that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then my wife may get a little bit more of that time, less of that time in my work because there's this opportunity that I have to go take advantage of in order to provide and create a lifestyle, not only for myself, my family, but others around me.
So you train people in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, man. We have trainers, chefs, and therapists. Oh,
so it's like there's a just train.
Yeah.
In Saudi Arabia
for 13 years, man. We've been doing
what?
Way before it becomes.
How did I not know this?
Yeah, I know, man. It's most people don't know.
can we talk about it?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I need the plug.
Yeah, well, the plug is real. Yeah, plug, that's your hat fell off real. Like that girl with the wig.
Yeah, oh my God. Whitney.
Yeah, Whitney. That was your moment right there. God. You just didn't.
Yeah, you mentioned Saudi Arabia, dog. That's worldwide.
Yeah,
dog.
Man, we've been fortunate. It's teamwork.
So you got some oil?
I wish I had some oil.
Are you in Texas, and Saudi? Man, you get all the oil.
No, I wish I had oil, man. It was a unique opportunity. You know, I won't go into detail of individual names and things like that, but, you know, man, for the last 13 years, I've been fortunate enough to see how the country's grown and being able to see where the opportunity lies. You know, some of my team members are there now, and I'm very fortunate. I don't take it for granted. I used to not, you know, talk about it as much because of, you know, certain things.
You tuck your chain in.
Yeah, I understand. Very, 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 you know, trying to, you know, but I'm excited about the opportunity to continue to provide at the level of opportunity that
That's
this
dope.
Is. I'll say, man, I know this, you're interviewing me, but you've been an inspiration to me, man.
Thank you.
I hope
you
know that, like, being able to watch you transition from, you know, sports to now what you're doing. There's very few people that can actually do it and more are trying to, but actually that are exceeding and excelling. I mean, I've watched your brand deals and I've watched you do things across the globe for not only 1 or 2 years, but you've been kicking ass and, you know, You built multiple characters within your brand, man, and it's inspiring because, you know, being easily motivated is something that I live by. Derek is something, you know, he'll tell you that, like, man, be easily motivated. You shouldn't have this motor, and you've been someone that I've watched, and we talk, you know, this ain't no, hey, yeah, we just pull up on each other, we work out, people don't understand, we get on a FaceTime, and we have these conversations, and but man, you have truly been a pillar of what it looks like to say, I'm going to consistently do me and win and be this guy. And when I ask people about you, it's funny. I'll be like, man, you know Spice? And people are like, man, Spice been the same damn way from when he played to now. This ain't no different.
Yeah.
My cousin, Ben Emanuel, was with San Francisco.
Yeah. I know Ben.
He said, man, Spice been the same way. So, man, I'm applauding you, bro, because you're doing phenomenally well, and to see you take on this chapter is fun.
Yeah, I feel the same way about you, man. But what a lot of people don't know is the stuff you do behind the scenes. Like, you are like a great businessman, dog. Yeah. Like, people just think like you just be racing people on the camera and stuff like that. You lost the last time. I forget who you raced.
Well, we're not talking about losses. We're only talking about wins.
Okay, my bad. DJ Khaled.
No. We only win. All we do is win, DJ.
Are you at the weight that you want to be at?
Right now,
You know what I'm saying?
No.
You're not?
I'm not, man. I need to drop 15 pounds right now.
15 pounds?
Yep, I'm going to drop it.
For why?
Yeah, because life. As you start to get older, you start to make decisions that you don't want to.
It's always the most diesel.
No. I don't want to be.
Like, I need to lose like 10 more.
No, man. I start to look at life. I'm like, man, I want to enjoy food a little bit differently. So I need to get to a weight to where I can enjoy my kids.
15 pounds will do it.
Yep. 15 pounds. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there.
I know, but like, why though? Like, you don't need to.
Yes, I do. Because it's a mindset thing. It's always, we're always pushing and going for more. I remember.
Here we go.
You
man.
Just decided to stop. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
I need to lose 50. You don't need.
No. Like, I've been around you, and I've heard you. My knees hurt. You've dropped so much weight, and then you give yourself the excuse. Yeah. The knees is the football boss. Boss. I'm just gonna box today, boss.
That's how I sound at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You pulled up on me on the early morning workouts when you were in town.
Yeah, I did it. You've done it a couple times, man.
You complain, but you did it.
Oh, I'm going to always complain.
Yeah, you complain, but you did it.
I always do that.
Yeah, man.
I'm different, man. I got a different type of body now, man.
No, man.
There's a lot of wear and tear, man.
All you got to do is move more, I promise you.
I know.
You're
right.
If you move more, that body going to always get in motion.
I'm going to start running.
Yeah.
One of these days. My back just so janky, dog. Nah. I got the jankiest back.
So that's why you got you work hard. You need to go make sure you got recovery inside of your financial monthly plan.
I'm just telling you my problem. I'm not trying to solve them.
No, well, that's what I do. I'm a solution oriented guy. I just told you that. But you started talking about business.
Yeah.
And one of the things that for me, bro, that I learned early on, and I'll tell you, the advice that came to me early on when I was training, I was trying to do all these different things across the board. I had a dump truck company. I was trying to be a landscaping guy. And an actual hustler came to me and was like, bro, I can't let you. He was selling me a dump truck. Because I had no clue what I wanted to do.
Just out the blue, like, I got this dump truck.
He was like, I got this dump truck, bro. And I was going to buy the dump truck. And I most people don't know I created a program called CJ the Workout Kid, where it was kids teaching kids how to be fit, went all worldwide. It was on Dr. Oz, Good Morning America. And people didn't know I was behind the project because I love to create concepts and ideas. And
you tucked your chain in.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and just kind of go. And he came to me, and I was teaching his son at the time, and he's like, bro, you're really good at this training shit. He's like, you're one of the best, right? And he's a big-time hustler. And he was like, I'm not going to sell you the dump truck. I need you to be all in on this fitness stuff. And that was a young lady that I was super cool with named Piper, and she was like, bro, you're a jack-of-all-trades and a master of none. And that insulted me. Now I know the whole phrase. But at the time, I started to identify as a guy that was talking about all these different things but hadn't mastered anything, right? But I had been a football player, so I had this super desire to be a businessman. man, but didn't accomplish anything to diversify my portfolio. So what had happened, I really was like, okay, if it's going to be fitness, I'm going to dive into fitness and I'm going to go at fitness. So what we see today is like any concept, I tie health and wellness into it. So JP Morgan Chase, right? We came up with financial fitness. How do we teach people how to become financially fit? Kev and myself, that's how we started to become pillars within this industry of kind of how do we forge forward, not just thinking about the traditional, okay, here's how we're going to do it. So that's how it really came about. But hearing those things that were gut-wrenching to me at the time, it was, hey man, you know, I didn't never sell real estate, but it's like I'm a trainer and a substitute teacher and I sell real estate on the side, and I never wanted to be that person. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
So what I did was I was like, let me master my craft. And then once you master your craft, people will respect the fact that you diversify your portfolio. But if you haven't done, I wanted to do fitness so well, I wanted to be the best at it. I was like, okay, let me go do this at the level that I need to do it at, the same way I approach football. And I took all the other distractions away. And
that's what I be trying to tell my son, dog.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you know how passionate you are about football? I was like, take that same passion and energy and put it towards your books.
Yeah.
Put it towards something that you want to do, that you can be the same passion that you have with football, put it towards something else that you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I'm doing with entertainment.
Yeah, you
are. But I tell my son the same thing, and I don't talk to him like he a baby. Yeah. I don't talk to him like he 15.
Yeah.
I talk to him like he's a grown man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to get him to that point, but it's like pulling teeth.
Well, it's always different too, coming from dad. Exactly. You know what I mean? So I say it, or somebody else that is in your system that he may admire completely. Dad is winning at life, but unfortunately it's too close, right? Yeah. It's the people that are too close to you that seems to not understand. It's like, hey, that success leaves clues, right? It's this moment but people don't tend to understand that or respect that, especially a 15-year-old. Yeah. I mean, I tell my wife, Dom, all the time, I'm like, hey, babe, like when my sons are doing things, I'm like, he only been on earth 3 years. Like, you don't know. Like, that's the rationale. Uh-huh. I know people that are 36 that ain't doing the right thing. So how I'm going to get, let's be a little bit more patient. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm practicing patience while still putting authority of the mindset of being better and isolating your thoughts towards a greater good, while still saying, hey, be patient on your journey, right? And I think that's where you are with your son. It's like, I'm going to be on you, but ultimately he may hear that one thing from somebody else, and then all the principles that dad has taught him are there. It's the disservice that you would be doing if you didn't talk to him and I be know. On this point.
We talked about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But I want to, like, if you've been living under a rock, like, he trains everybody. But how did you meet Kevin Hart?
Interesting. I met Kev in a barbershop 20 years ago, bro. I met Kev when I was playing football. So Kev's barber, John Burgundy, is his current barber.
And shout out to John.
John, yes, my guy. And that's who ultimately I met Kev in a barbershop. Kev was the same dude coming in a barbershop. Kev actually tried to pay to cut in front of line to get his haircut, pay for my haircut so that he can get a cut. And I'm like, nah, bro. And so that was how we had knew each other. And that was like, hey, I know that dude. I'm not big on like celebrities, right? Like I'm good. I'm big on good people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so full circle moment, I was working with Neo. Thankful for that opportunity, because I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
I was training.
That's how I started in the industry was Neo gave me my first shot, was with him for 3 years. And the mutual respect of John being with Kev, and we knew each other from those years.
Well, Neo not Diesel. So
Neo was Diesel.
He was?
Yeah.
But then he stopped working with you, and now he's not Diesel.
Hey, man, I ain't got nothing to do. That's okay, my brother. I think he is incredible, and I will not. He Diesel. And he if you go back and look at that time period, he was in the most in shape he's ever been in his life. You know what I mean? You know, making sex symbols and you know what I mean? Like, I was dedicated to the craft, bro. You know what I mean? But I was delusional too. This was my opportunity. It's that Biggie song. Every morning I woke up like this was my last day on the job. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was an intern because I still try to wake up like I'm an intern and so much to prove, right? It's like I got so much to prove. I've earned nothing, right? And so that moment, I went to Saudi Arabia at this time, start building, doing things over there. And Kev came.
So this is 13 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Kev came, and we started off on a movie. I was here and there, and then I was like, you know, Kev knows the story. It was very loyal. Like, hey, I can't leave this versus that. And Kev was like, when you're ready, I'm here, and everything. And I went to Kev, and I was like, look, bro, I don't want to just be the trainer. Let's explore more opportunities. And I'm so thankful for him, because he could have just said, nah, dog, just work me out. I'll pay you and do that. Mm-hmm. But he dove into like, hey, bro, if you go execute on this, let's go we can go do this together. And we've become partners in health and wellness. And across the board, you know, it's understanding that you're better together than you are apart. You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. what I truly understood with Kev. It's like, man, I don't got the ego. I do have an ego, but I don't got the ego to say I did it by myself. Like, you're always, somebody got to help you. Is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Along your journey, right? Yeah. It's use a person, don't misuse a person. You feel what I'm saying in life? Yeah. And that we're all supposed to be used. It's when people misuse you is when we, the tide starts to shift, mm-hmm. right? And so me and Kev really started to bridge the gap. And I told him, if you give me a task, I'll execute on it. You know what I mean? That was my biggest thing, is execution. Give me something, let me go get it. And we started the runs, and we attracted some big brands, and we did some major partnerships. We sat in front of some big, big people. And across the board, that was a company called Rally Health. And this is when we started doing equity. And then we really just started to, you know, take these things one step at a time and execute mm-hmm. one step at a time. And one of the things that I pride myself on is being a part of the boring conversation, is what we tend to call it. I don't mind going to sit in a room that I may not be knowledgeable of or have the information. I'll go sit and listen and learn, mm-hmm. where a lot of people are like, man, that shit boring. Yeah. Well, I would always find myself like, hey, I'm going with you. Even if it don't pertain to me, let me go learn and listen. Mm-hmm. And so that's been one of the things that I've been fortunate enough to do, because Kev is allowed, and, you know, we've been in these rooms, and, you know, understanding too when to speak up in a room and when to be quiet, when there, and so, you know, you question sometime. One time I questioned and immediately caught myself in the room. I was like, why am I in this room? And immediately I was like, I did something to be in the room. I don't care what it is. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so Kev kind of, you know, giving him his full flowers of kind of where the opportunity presented itself. It was him saying, okay, this is a guy, it's up to you to execute or not. And we went full steam ahead. And mm-hmm. today we sit at the front of the line and kind of pushing a lot of different things. And I'm excited, brought him a part of C4. And we've been great partners with companies like that. And a lot of, and we can go on and on, you know yeah. what I mean? About,
like, he did a marathon, right?
Did
you run it?
No. He's very disappointed. If you talk to him about that marathon.
What happened? I don't know what happened. He didn't get a chance to finish it?
No. Hold on, let me tell you what happened. So
I'll tell you what happened.
So we partnered with we running across the country. I never in my life wanted to run a damn marathon. I think me, it's incredible for people to do that, but that is not my thing. Mm-hmm. So
it's not my ministry.
So all of a sudden it's like, oh, we want you guys to run a marathon. Everything Kev would do, we were doing it in tandem, right? It was him side by side. And man, we were training for this marathon, and Spice, and when I tell you, I start chafing in between my legs, and nipples running. We had a 16-mile run.
That's a real thing, right? Like, bro, were your nipples like bleeding?
And I'm like, we were 16-mile run. We were on a movie. The shirt, bro, you just running.
Any shirt.
Bro, if you got on the wrong shirt, there's a nipple gel that you're supposed to put on. Stop, when you're running, man. Bro, I swear you could put on. Bro, this shit is real. So we in Atlanta filming a movie, and Kev is so, to this day, he called me all kind of names, because I'll never forget, bro, it's a 16-mile run. We in Atlanta, we're running, and that was the day I said, F this. I was like, man, I ain't signed up for this. I ain't finna kill myself. Every day I go home, my damn knees is hurting. I'm talking about, I got blisters. My damn thighs been rubbed together so much. My so toe up. I'm like, no, I'm done. He's talking about, oh, no. He laughing. I said,
so it's your fault.
I'm done. So he went and ran a marathon. He like, boss, supposed to be here. You left me out here by myself. He ran two. He thought I was going to run a second one. I said, no, I don't think you understand. I made my mind up. This chafing. I don't think you people understand what chafing is. Oh, bro, man, your it's thighs the worst. Rubbing together.
It's the worst.
Bruh, I'm like, this hurt.
Yeah.
And then you telling me we got to go run again tomorrow. No, it's just a cool down run. It's over. I'm not doing this no more. I'm bleeding between my legs. Nah, dog, I'm done. Nipples hurting.
This is the conversation y'all had.
Bro, I'm getting in the shower gentle as hell.
Y'all arguing with each other about your nipples.
No, he like, it's all
my
good.
My nipples hurt too.
Kev always like, it's all good, it's all good. But he was so delusional at proving that he can run, because Oprah had run it, all these people that kept. I'm like, ain't no way. So I'm like, bro, I ain't them your peers. I don't give a damn. I don't care. Like, I'm out. I never signed up to run this goddamn many miles. And then, you know, you do a little bit of history on where marathon come from. Oh. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm cool on it. I don't want to. That was no reason for nobody to be running 26. At least me.
Point two.
Yeah, 26.26. Yeah, yeah. At 230-something pounds out here. And I know people do it all the time. I just decided that that shit was over for me.
You would lose 15 for sure training for a marathon.
Oh, boy. You would lose a cool 20, 30. What?
Why don't you do that?
No.
All you got to do is wear the
Spice,
right
why don't
stuff.
You? Okay, do it with me. I'll do a half. I'm not doing. I can run 13 today. I'm 26,
I don't think
4
I've
hours.
Ever ran double-digit miles.
Yeah, I've run double-digit miles.
I've done 4, maybe. That's the most.
Like looking at a David Goggins and all that, I'd be like, yeah, man, that's incredible. I'm going to do that in a different. I'm doing that somewhere else. I don't need to run.
Nah, fam.
Yeah,
for so sure. Why didn't you talk some sense into him for trying to run that 40?
What do you mean?
The 40 that he ran? No. The 30.
You got to understand, we compete. We compete over here. So it was at the house. We were here. Fam. We were at the house, and it was a beautiful
occasion. This was right outside already?
Right outside. It was a beautiful occasion. It was my birthday. And
So it's beautiful.
It was a beautiful occasion. And I'm sad that he got hurt, but I said, we compete. So it was a moment I was like, hey, Kev, I think Trey think he can hoop. Now, all my guys was here. Matt, all right, we're going to do a shootout first.
So it started out with basketball.
Started off with basketball. Mm-hmm. And I said, Kev, you think – I told Red, I said, Red, I think Kev can smoke you. I lit the fire and walked away. Wow. And I do think – I definitely thought
Instigator.
Kev – No, because Kev is fast. So I definitely thought Kev could – attack that like he should. Mm-hmm. And you know, it ended up bad. And you know, my boy,
I don't know if I've ever seen anybody in a wheelchair after a sprint.
Oh bro, it was bad. He told me and Wayne, scoop me up like ice cream. He couldn't stand up. We had to scoop him up and sit him in the car to go to the hospital. No cap. I'm like, oh, this is real. And I'm always the one that's now I'm never with him. I'm sorry. I'm like, God damn. And that was drinking involved. Scoop me up like ice cream. Man. I said, oh. Yep. And we had to scoop him up like ice cream.
Oh, man, gosh.
It's a day. It was one of them months. At first, I thought he was putting 2 on a 10. And then I said, oh, no, he really hurt. You hear me in one of the videos, you hear me say, are you all right? Because I know him. I know the difference. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's bad. He can't stand up. I'm like, yeah, bro.
Man, I saw that video so many times, dog.
Oh, no, it was everywhere.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was everywhere.
Yeah, it had multiple angles.
Oh, no, it was everywhere. No. It was bad. I had the right one. No, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dog, did you ever think, like, training folk, just take you all over the world like Howard Ashe?
Nope, not in a million years, man. But I will tell you that I never not saw it. I just never saw it. You know what I mean? So it was, I never had a parameter. I just, you know, I have this ability to just go. I think the thing that some may find as a fault is I don't overthink things. And if I see an opportunity, I just go towards the opportunity with a good hearted, on a mission. It's like, look, first time I got the call to go to Saudi Arabia, I was like, all right, I guess this is what we doing. Yeah. Like, I ain't going to think about it. I don't want to know nothing
this
else.
Where
it's
God like, led me.
This is like, where I got to go. I ain't asking too many questions. And some may call it ignorant. Some may say whatever. But listen, man, I don't play in certain fields. I play in the field of making people better and training. And I call myself a human performance coach, because for me, I approach the mind. it's not just the body. You know when somebody is ready to truly take their life to the next level, it's a mindset. It has nothing to do with exercise. It has everything to do with the information that I have to give to you toward, you know, I'm Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan to every person, right? I'm the best assist man. You got to do the work. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so you're the Michael Jordan of your health. You're the greatest of getting yourself there. I'm just an assist man. You know what I mean? Or I can give you another analogy. I know they don't really like each other right now. But that's kind of the relationship, too. Most people don't like me until they love me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're like, man, thank you. But
that's a cool dude.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, but you it comes from a
TED Talk, man. You ever did a TED Talk?
You know what? I don't really understand what I've heard this thing in TED Talk, but I really don't know what TED Talk means. I've listened to TED Talks, but what is a TED Talk? Like, what is...
I guess it's just information that you're giving people to kind of motivate them, that's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm working on a few things and a book.
Oh, he's probably gonna do it.
That's but I just don't understand. I don't know what I don't know. So I'm not gonna. I've listened to TED Talks, but I don't know what that. I haven't dove deep enough to go, oh, I should do TED Talks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I'm doing a podcast.
They're going to reach out to you after this.
Okay. So that's a company. It's TED Talks, a company. Mm-hmm. Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know this is a podcast. And
or is it?
We having a conversation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
You call me, you say, hey, bro, I'm pulling up on you. Let's have a conversation.
Let's
and I'm like,
get it.
Done, brotherhood. You know what I mean?
That's how we roll,
yeah,
baby.
Absolutely.
That's how we roll.
And you came camouflaged down. You said he gonna see me, but not see me,
dog. Creep through, man. No, come through like behind the tree.
You
like,
got the polo on it's like you got the polo on with the almost active wear shorts. Like you ready to? It's like I don't know which one you ready for.
Hey,
like, it's like I'm going. I may train if he say let's train, but I'm also here for business.
Here's the thing.
But at the same time, yeah,
I was here. I'm gonna be here Monday through Friday, and I got a pack. Like I got big clothes, so it's like, man, some of this stuff I can't really take. I can't take too many shoes.
You gotta learn how to roll your clothes.
Yeah,
that's it.
I know, so, man. I'm learning.
But I had to go with these, man.
No, they're nice. They just kind of seem like they're in the middle ground between I can work out, but not the polo.
Because I know how you roll.
Yeah, yeah.
You might be like, hey, man, come on, dog.
Hey, let's get
do these RDLs
and
all this other stuff, man. How you back, man? I got something for that. Oh, my God.
Yep.
So talk to me about your parents, man. Like, what was your upbringing like? Because I know they got to be proud of you.
Yeah, man. You know what? I pray that my mom is proud of me. I lost my mom when I was 11 years old.
Oh, sorry to hear that, man.
No, it's okay. You know what I mean? I think I think most people don't understand. It gave me this, probably why I'm so solution-oriented, because and my wife gets on me about, you know, I always tell people, you know, what's the worst that can happen? I already lost my mom. You know what I mean? And it's a real, it's not a dark moment. It's an understanding moment. But I shouldn't be that way. And I'm trying not to be that way as much. But I think making my mom proud is the ultimate, you know, my mom and my family, my wife, everybody around me, really, really proud. So had a great upbringing, you know, despite what some may say, because I don't believe in trauma. I believe in, you know, that's what it was. They did the best that they could. My dad decided to leave at that time. And, you know, people tried to say, oh, you mad at your dad? I'm like, I'm not mad at my dad. Interesting story. My dad came to my wedding and we was riding in the car. And I said, my homies was in the car. We're getting ready to go to the wedding. It was the best day. And he goes, I said, man, just straight up, bro, why you leave? He goes, but I'm asking with no malice. I go, why you leave? He go, man, I make babies. I don't raise them. And I said, man, I appreciate that. Right? We get out the car and my homie's like, man, give me a hug, man. I'm sorry. I said, sorry for what? He goes, man, that's tough. I said, that's his truth, bro. Like, what I'm going to be mad about? There's nothing else to search. See, people don't want to take people as they are, right? For me, and some may say, man, that's very difficult. For me, that was an understanding, right? Mm-hmm. It's like that was something he know he couldn't give, right? Or he didn't want to. So I would be angry at a person that doesn't even have that same emotion back to me ever. It doesn't serve me a purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so some may say it's sad. It was enlightening to me, and it was like a moment of like, man, I knew that already. I appreciate that, bro. Yeah. Rather than just like somebody lying. You feel what I'm saying? I would rather someone tell me the truth to know what I'm dealing with. And so I find too often that people would rather hear a lie than hear the truth. I want to hear the truth because I know what I'm dealing with. So
you still like, keep in contact with your pops?
My dad cool as hell. Mm-hmm. I call him right now. Hey, man, what you doing? I pull up on him in the hood. They call him Hamburger Pimp. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even want to go down why he called Hamburger Pimp. You know what I mean? He called him Hamburger Pimp. I pull up, I be like, and you go looking for him, like, man, what?
I hear what you're saying, but it's hard to hear anything else after you say Hamburger Pimp.
You Hamburger Pimp. Man, listen, I think my dad, this no cap, my dad.
I was just asking that because my dad went to prison when he was 4.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And he didn't get out till I was like almost 30 or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So he didn't see
anything. He did 25 anything. Years.
Bro. Then, wow. Yeah.
And, wow, and maximum. Real criminal.
And maximum. Like, yo, I was amazed to see he had all his teeth.
Wow, he's a real criminal.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What's your dad? I'm here.
Well, look, I was asking that because, like, yeah. I don't know what he went in for.
Oh, you still
don't know. I can't get a straight answer. Like, wow. Talking to my dad is like talking to an astronaut. Wow. Or an astronaut who's socially awkward. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can ask my dad, I say, man, dad, how you doing today? Oh, man, if you look at the moon with the Jay-Z album that came out, how do you go down the court and shoot a field goal if you know the kicker ain't up to par to what the crowd want to hear? And it make perfect sense to him. But to me, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
You just said 7 different subjects and none of them like had anything to do with the other.
Go together.
But to him, that means I'm doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and you know what? You got to accept him for that.
I do.
I've seen you reverence your dad. And
that's my dude. He the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
1,000%. You know what I'm saying? So.
And I think a lot of times right now, you know, people are looking for a reason to say why they're in a situation. They want to victimize themselves. And again, our parents are never, we are adults. We know how things can be difficult.
Yeah.
Rather than trying, we're not seeking understanding. We're immediately ridiculing from what we don't know how they've navigated through what they navigated through. There's trauma that is attached to some people. But it's like, I went to go take my kids to see my dad. And because this wasn't about me, this was about them. Because for me, it was about, hey, who is my grandpa? See, if I'm selfish and start to go, man, no, don't worry about, no, man, they gonna wonder who grandpa is. He's still here? Let me go take my kids to go see grandpa because that ain't got nothing to do with me and got everything to do with them. So now as they get older and they want to identify and go, why am I like this? Why am I like that? They may not identify that in me. It may be grandpa.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
So let me not be selfish. I went and saw my dad. And he got kids my age right now. He's 79, 80 years old. And he's still having babies. And so I'm like, hey, bro, you living your life. Hey, bro.
Clearly.
I ain't got no kickback, feedback. This is your life.
Mm-hmm.
But people want you to have anger towards these individuals.
Yeah, man, I don't know why.
I don't have
I can't even operate like that.
I don't even operate like that. Similar to what you just said about
it's a lot of energy to hate.
Too much.
It's a lot of energy to do that.
And so it's more empowering to understand where people are.
Yeah.
And respect that rather than trying to get them to shift to a place of where you are. And that takes a lot of time and maturity, but I live better in that space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you as a dad, man? Like you, because I know like my dad was never there.
Yeah.
So I'm always like trying to at least be present with my kids, like, you know, my daughters do water polo, aunt do football, wrestling, track, and, you know, my daughters do cross country, basketball, like all that. So I try to make sure I'm there at all their events and, you know, just encouraging them. And I'm a pretty hands-on dude, like, as you can see.
Yeah.
So I do the same thing with them and, you know, creating a relationship with them, like a healthy relationship. So how are you with your kids?
I would say it's I have an intention to be as present and as available as I'm supposed to be.
But you got bills to pay too.
So. Yeah, right. But also understanding that I'm not where you are. So hearing from you is important, right? Because my kids are 3, almost 2, and, you know, I mean, 12 weeks now. I mean, not even, right? So I'm not fully there. I would love to hear my kids later in life say that I was a great dad, but I got to go through the journey, right? And I want to be intentional, and I am going to be intentional. It is something that's on me, but talking to guys like you and being able to hear what that looks like and navigate through how I want to be a dad is important. I know what I'm going to do, right, and how I'm going to lead, but, you know, I would say that I have the best intention to be as present as I possibly can. But, you know, it's always great to be surrounded around people that, you know, are leading by that example, because you know, it's all too often be like, man, I got to go to work. Work. I will not allow work to compromise all of the moments that, you know, create the life that matters to me the most is my kids. And you know what I mean? Because they didn't ask to be here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. If you can go back in time, what would you tell yourself the moment you found out you had to give up football? Because that's, dog, giving up football, dog?
Yeah.
No. It was, like, real hard for me, dog. Like, I was holding on to the very end where I was just like, all right, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think no team going to pick me up. I tried. I done reached out to all these different people who coaching. Yeah. Like, I reached out to coaches who was like, man, I wish we had 11 Anthony Adams, man. The way that you hustle, the way you go about da, da, da. And then I call them like, hey, bro, I just got released from the Bears. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
Ah, man, let me talk with coach.
Nobody made
you know, that I'm low level here, and as I work my way up, then I'm a mention your name. Like, so I was like, yeah, it's a wrap for me, man. Like,
yeah.
So, but what was that like? Like, knowing, like, dang, I'm from Texas. Like, football in Texas is different. Like, you shut the whole city down, the whole town down when it come to football. And this was something that, you know, you were so passionate about, and now you got to give it up to do something else.
Delusional. I don't know if it was depressed. I would say it was like a shell shock, because I thought that was only going to be who I was. I thought the world would know me by being a football player.
Yeah.
And I think I just became so consumed by trying to fill that void that I never took time to think about it. You know what I mean? For me, it was like, because I didn't accomplish your level of success in making it and being on teams and being able to make those calls. And so for me, yes, it was tough. But I just knew I had to work, because I refused to be a failure and go back to certain situations. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, all right, bro, you better figure it out.
Yeah,
but I just
quickly,
I've never worked a corporate job in my, like, that's never been in my life. Right. So for me, when that was a moment where I was like training and it wasn't doing well, and I went for that seasonal job at Target, and they called me back and they said, you got the job. And I was like, bet. And then I had an ad on Craigslist and about personal training. And dude hit me up. He was like, it was an hour and a half away in Atlanta. And he was like, man, I was charging. I can't remember what I was charging, but it was just enough that I felt like it was going to fill that void of that seasonal job. And I was like, oh yeah, I ain't ever calling them people back. And I built that relationship. And I just kept finding those individuals that would trust me. And I was like, I'll never betray people's trust. I'm going to always be honest. And I football just slowly became this thing that I hated to watch, but I loved so much while I was still working in my craft, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. It was like, let me give all of that energy of anger to this, because I'm really mad. Cause I worked out with so many guys. I don't want to say names. I'm like, bro, I'm like, no,
I'm better than you.
Better than you, bro. Like during the workouts, I'm like, I'm.
You be like, dog, this is the starting linebacker,
bro. I'm literally, I'm working out for teams. Going, bro, what the?
I know.
Bro, I'm
pushing you. You supposed to be pushing me,
bro. I'm out here and I'm looking at the starting linebacker for the teams, and I'm like, yeah, like that hurt. You know what I mean? So I stopped watching football for like 2 years. And so, but I just,
dang, dog.
I just dove.
He was real mad then.
I don't know if I took the anger.
I can't, like, dude, I was like mad at the Bears for releasing me.
I bet.
But I was still like, all right, man, let me see.
Oh, I couldn't watch it. Because I think
real mad.
I think it was the fact that I didn't get there. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Because that had been the dream. You know what I mean? But I tell people, full circle moment. I didn't make it then, but I made it now. I got a show with the NFL. You know, so
if you had made it, your life probably been completely different.
But I did make it. But I made it.
I know.
NFL came back. No, the NFL, I got a show with the NFL. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, I speak at the NFL for private. Like, bro, it comes full circle. Though it didn't come in the way I wanted it, God came back in a whole nother way. So now I'm like, man, I actually did get my contract with the NFL. Like, that's real. Like, no cap. Like, I really got my contract with the NFL. So it was like, it didn't come on the field. Yeah. But it came in a different way. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's what I was most proud of in a full circle moment for me when I first did some stuff with them. Shout out to the guys, Eddie, and the people that I was the first guy to ever go to the combine that was a non-athlete.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying?
I remember that video.
First
you,
time.
You was mad. It's something you did you was mad about. What was it, vertical or something like
Man,
that?
Man, so all that shit I was mad about. I ain't had no time. I went out there thinking I was about to run a goddamn 4-4 flat. You know what I mean? I thought it was gonna be my moment to shine.
Dude, you had your hands on your hips, dog, the whole time. I was like, boss is mad.
I was pissed. And so, you know, being able to do that was like, man, I know guys that are in the league that didn't get invited to the combine.
Yeah.
So, bro, I was able to go do the combine still in my craft today. So it's like it was just being honest and being appreciative of the new opportunity that's presented itself and being able to go back to do that. Man, it was a moment for me. I'm like, man, I got to go do that shit. And then now I got a show with them. So it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, bro.
That's dope, man. Is there anything that you haven't done that you want to do?
Man, what? There's so much.
I know that's probably the wrong question to ask you, man.
Yeah, no. I dream of it all. I don't set – this is not – I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say this. I don't really have goals. I have aspirations, but I don't use it in the form of a goal because I feel like a goal limits me, right? And I'm like, I'm not trying to accomplish
that. You're so hard on yourself, bro.
Yeah, but I'm
so
not.
You would crush yourself if you did. I understand what you're saying because you would crush yourself if you didn't reach the goal.
Yeah. So it's like, and then also it's a limit. It's like I would have never.
Okay, I got here. Like now.
What? Okay, now what? Right.
Yeah.
It's like I would have never saw myself in Saudi Arabia or partnering and consulting. Man, I'm a managing partner of our venture fund, right? Heartbeat Ventures. Like, bro, I'm sitting in a different seat, right? That wasn't if you set that out to be a goal, you know, I wouldn't even know where to start to write that on paper.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Because I didn't even know that. So once I started to surround myself around Robert Romans and Natashis and these individuals that were pouring into me about venture capital and all these different things, well, I became a student of the game. I'm like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. But then I still came with my same approach. So I would say that I couldn't say that was a goal. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity presented itself. I became a student of the opportunity, and I just wanted to take advantage of it. So I would say, man, there's a lot of things that I want to accomplish right now, and I don't even know how to, you know, I would say the thing that most important to me right now is the book. I want to write a phenomenal book, and I want a book.
Have you started?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
What about a TV show? Would you do that?
Yep. Thought about that, working on that. Yeah.
Dude, that'll be ridiculous, dog. Like the amount of people you can impact. Yeah. Like you impact a lot of people now on social media and things like that, but to just like the world?
Yeah.
Man, people need to hear this, dog.
Yeah,
like,
no, we're working on a TV show right now, a show, and so we'll see how it all comes about. But man, you know, as you know in this industry, you wait until it's guaranteed. But I know what I can control. I know what I haven't controlled as of late. I haven't been using my voice. I've taken an approach of like more lax on social media, not being as aggressive as I used to be because I wanted to change the narrative between, man, people need to know I'm a businessman, not from an ego place, but man, I do more than just work out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, man, this is my anchor. This is my golf. Fitness will always be my thing. And despite no matter what other hats I may wear, I'm going to always be anchored in training because that is who I am. That's who I started. So I'll never disrespect that. And this is the through line between everything that I have today. So, bro, I'm honing in on this. And so getting back to that, being honest with myself and really going to dive deep back into like, hey, man, let me get into social media shit. I'm going to have fun. Like I'm looking at some of the things that I used to do that people was like, what the fuck you doing? Well, that's crazy. Nah, that's the whole internet. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A back lunge to a shoulder press to a curl. Like you see, and before I was like, people would ridicule you for doing something different outside of the box.
Yeah.
Well, now it's a normal thing. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, man, I've always been doing my thing and just got to get back to that. I don't really, try to, I see everything, though I'm still hyper-focused on my thing because I am easily motivated. I'm not a hater. I want to see somebody else doing better than me, so it gives me a way to understand, okay, that's possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'll say that out loud. Like, I'm very interested and motivated in how people are navigating their shit. Not to say that I'm going to take it all in. I just love the inspiration between when somebody's winning at something.
Yeah. Like, knowing what you know now, would you allow your sons to play football? Do you want them to play football?
It's like yes and no.
I don't want my son to play, mm-hmm. but I also don't want him to resent me.
Yeah.
And like he knows like I played and I made a career out of it and everything. So who am I to be like, hey man, you don't can't play or whatever. Yeah. But I just know how my back feels. I know how my knees feel. I know how my fingers look and feel. And I don't want him to have to go through that and like all the concussions and CTE and all that other type of stuff. I'd rather he just play golf or something like that. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
He's playing. Yeah. I told him.
And he's good. He's good.
I told him, like, when you get 14, you make your own decision if you want to play or not. And, of course, you know, he wants to play. But ultimately, I would rather him just play golf.
Yeah. I think I do want them to play, but I'm also very much like you. I'm like, man, if you don't got to,
yeah,
let's go do something else.
Yeah, man.
Dom wants my kids to be basketball stars. She's a basketball fanatic, so she, you know. But man, we putting them in everything right now, from tennis to.
Dude, my son did fencing.
I heard water polo a second ago, but that's incredible.
Footwork. You know what I'm saying? Well, see, the thing with water polo, I don't know anything about it. But we are trying to get the girls to like learn how to swim and learn how to tread water.
Yeah.
And so that's what you do in water polo. Absolutely. Like you got to be outside the water. So like we trying to basically get them in shape without them really knowing like that's what they're doing.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying? So we got a little system going on, man. But I didn't want Lil Ant to play. Yeah. But he's excelling in it. Like
you can't stop it.
Yeah, I know.
Because like you said, you don't want that resentment.
Yeah, man.
You don't want that resentment, man. Yeah, but
it's a bad dude, man. Like I didn't grow up having that resentment for like my dad not being there because my mom did a good job. But like, you know, just remembering all of the cool stories that my dad had or whatever. But you know, she did a good job with that.
I got a question for you. Do you feel like you suffer from? Man, I'm doing good, but I don't want to do too good. This is all going too well. Something bad has to happen.
No. Nope. I don't ever think negatively.
Yeah.
Ever. Like if something happens that, you know, I didn't see or something like that, then I'm like, you win or you learn.
Yeah.
Or you learn how to win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think if you wake up in the morning, you won.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why you're still here.
Yeah.
Like so find out what that is, go make it happen. And, you know, I try not to think negatively, like, at all when it comes to everything that I'm doing with me being a husband, me being a father, me being an entrepreneur, whatever the case may be. So I always try to keep a positive attitude with everything.
I love that, man. I think, you know, from cultural, I think about our community, right? You do too well. It's like, man.
It's only a matter of time.
You know, or what goes up must come down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this thing. One of my homies asked me. He wasn't being negative. He was just like, man, are you worried your sons won't have that same dog that, you know, we had growing up? And it's more like, yeah, I don't want them to have that same sense of struggle.
I had that dog.
Yeah. You know I don't want them to have that same sense of struggle.
This is a different type of dog.
Yeah, bro. So it's like you're going to build a dog, but you're going to teach him through your words. You're going to be able to be more, you know, there with your son and kind of walk him through some of these things, whereas there were things we had to learn on our own. And I was like, nah, that's not a worry. You know what I mean? You can't worry about what you can't control. Yeah. You know what I mean? But what you can, you focus on, you know what I mean? And so, that was just something for me because I tend to ask a lot of people that myself because it's rapid and wondering like.
I can't, I seen so much negativity already.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I seen my aunt strung out on crack. I seen my uncle strung out on crack. I seen my cousins and aunts and uncles back and forth to jail. My dad in prison. Like I've been around a lot of negativity, man. Like I heard the gunshots from one of my friends who died like two blocks from my house.
Yeah.
Like, I've almost got shot. Yeah. Like, all type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That not a lot of people know about.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't discuss because it never really comes up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been around a lot of negativity, man, where I can't think that way, dog.
Yeah, I don't even want to tell you the stuff I've been around, but I would say.
Well, people would be if like, your oh, dad's name is Hamburger yeah, Pimp.
Hey, bro.
I mean,
my brother, I lost a brother. My mom. How many
of it is it?
Nine.
It's nine.
My mom had nine kids.
It's nine Everlines.
Nine Everlines, brother. My mom had nine kids.
Lost Where my, do you fall?
I'm seven. I'm number seven and nine. And I would say, man, I lost my brother.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Bro. I lost a brother at 18, 19, and that hit different. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but you know, he was a wild card, right? And I have cousins that are wild cards and done real time. And mm-hmm. there's a lot similar to the story you said. So when people start to go, I really don't want no problems because I grew up, I was around that.
Yeah.
Because I know where things could go.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's almost being very intentional. It's like, man, I actually want to be because I used to be a hothead. You know what I'm saying?
That's, you know, that's pretty believable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I used to be a hothead, right? So it's like getting to a point of going, nah, bro, this don't serve me. You feel mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so though I made people look at me, my red birthmark, and they're like, oh, I'm actually the most chill. I don't want no problems.
Yeah.
I'm like, unless you threaten my family or none of, man, I'm going to avoid that by all means because I know what that level takes you to, where it takes me to, mm-hmm. and I'd rather not even go there.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. Like, you know your strengths and weaknesses.
Well, we know where we come from.
Yeah.
We saw it. That's really what I'm saying.
It's so easy to just go back right yeah. there, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Understand what you're saying. Like, I cannot go back
to Houston.
I can't go back.
Bro. I wasn't going back to Houston. By the way, I didn't grow up in the projects. I would not lie to you and say I grew up in the hood, and I did not grow up in the hood, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I didn't grow up in like the suburbs. But I grew up in a middle class mm-hmm. neighborhood. My mom did. She made sure before she died that's what she wanted us to be. And I don't remember like people outside gunshots, but my family, we connected. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so my mom
ain't
made
too
the,
far.
Yeah, well, it was very close. And you know we did well, so they would want to come to our house, and you know you invite them in. But being very, like, I don't tell people I grew up in a very tough environment. You know what I mean? Because I didn't. But my family members are very tough individuals that are some of the most rigorous people that you look at on TV. And I'm just like, yeah, it's shit you want to be proud of. But yeah. Understand, you know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. you come from.
Now, this is going to be like off the grid right here with this question right here. If you had a superpower.
Hmm.
What would your superpower be and man, why?
My superpower
would be the ability to have just phenomenal metabolism. Where I could eat anything that I want and I could maintain my weight I eat what I want and I lose weight.
Man.
That would be a great superpower.
You love food.
Yeah, man. I just eat everything. Like, man, that man ate a house, and he didn't gain no weight.
You should go do. I think I got a new business for you. You should go taste food across the country everywhere you go.
I'm with that.
But you gotta go work out.
Yeah.
And so that's your element. While you eating it, you gotta show the workout side of it. It's like, here's how I'm gonna balance this out. Great story. I'm gonna help you build this out.
Dog, that's gangster.
I'm gonna help you build that out.
We should do that.
A whole series. You should just do an 8-part series of eating food in different cities.
It gotta be scientific though.
But yes.
Like, I'm gonna eat this, it's 1500 calories.
Yep, but then,
so I gotta burn 1500 calories.
And you should go build a show like that. I'm dead serious. I think you just came up with something.
There it is.
And show people how hard you when you're doing. Bam. You know what I mean? I think that could be
like
a phenomenal idea.
This cupcake.
Yep.
This is how much I gotta work out this cupcake.
Yep.
Mm.
I think it'll be phenomenal. But you can go help bring awareness to shows.
Yeah.
I mean, restaurants, different things like that in a different way.
That'd be dope.
And you can bring your family. You can have, man, you could do something cool.
We just came up with a show, dog.
Came up with a show. That's what we do. My superpower would be, I don't want to say discipline or something like, you know, I don't know. That's tough.
A crazy question.
That's a crazy question. If I had a superpower, I would want to.
Transport, like teleport, I mean.
No.
Like, you here, but then you can be in Saudi Arabia too. Like, hey, man, come on now.
I know. I get it. I want to be real, like, intentional about what my superpower would be.
Are we
going
to come back to it?
Yeah, come back to it. It's going to hit me. It's going to be in my back of my brain working, trying to figure out what the hell that's going to be.
So if you weren't training, folks, what do you think you'd be doing?
Definitely be some type of entrepreneur. I think this is my calling. I don't even think about what else I would be doing, bro. I'm doing it. I'm a businessman. I'm fortunate to be able to be in positions. I think I'll be doing what I'm doing now, just maybe not in the physical form, motivating people, trying to get people to see their best in themselves. Obviously I would, football. So outside of those, I think it would be a different form of me, just not with weights. You know what I mean? Whether I was in a corporate environment, I would really be the same person. Life has been too hard to what you just said, to be not positive and not, you know what I mean?
Dark in the world.
It's so good.
Just be the light.
Yeah, just be the light. So I'm thankful for where I'm at today. You know what I mean? It kind of throws you off, but I'm as wide-minded and foresight that I love to have. I like this super. I'm also very much like this.
You got blinders on.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yep.
I'm trying to have the foresight to, I do have foresight to see the future, but I'm also like, I don't want to be too distracted.
Yeah.
By all these outside things.
No, I understand that 100%, dude. Like, just got the tunnel vision.
Locked in, bro.
Is there a client that you've been chasing that you want to train that you like? They're just like, nah, like they running from you. No. I don't know any like inside information or nothing like that. I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure it's somebody you've been reaching out to just be like, nah, man.
Very humbly, no.
No?
I'm only interested
So everybody come to you.
I'm very interested in who's interested in me. I think it's to understand that I only want people that want to help themselves. I don't care whether you're a celebrity or the individual that is trying to get better. That's who I want. I want to be in our ecosystem because I have a team of trainers. I want to be very clear. This isn't just about Boss. This is about me helping everybody else around me become their best selves, whether they're trainers, chefs, nutritionists, in our whole company. Mm-hmm. So though I am at the front of the line, I tend to just hand people down to my guys, right? Because I'm looking for the next level of success of individual that I can help be in my position, right? Through this lens. So for me, I've had an opportunity to train almost everyone, yet I understand that I am so spread thin and I can be duplicated. And I'm also I want to be very clear. I understand the superpower that is within me of what I do.
Speaking of superpowers,
I know you was gonna come back to that. but my superpower of connectivity and how I operate with people, I don't want to take on people and know I gotta leave them. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I'm very intentional about who I give my time to because then I'm obligated. I have an obligation to you now to help you mentally, physically, because I know there's going to be a connection if I sit down with you most of the time and we build. And so I'm very intentional about I've disrespected a few people, not unintentionally by not replying back to them or going to, reply. There's been some people.
Oh, there's like, a lot of times where I'd like say stuff in my head that I'd be like, oh man, I should have texted that. Like,
yeah.
Like I do it all the time.
Oh, No. I intentionally not reply. No, this ain't in my head. I didn't reply. This is I can't give that any energy. Like, hey,
I could only imagine.
You can't, because again, I know that it will take me away and I would, then I feel like, damn, I'm leaving somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Where what I've learned to do is take conversations.
You had the point now where you turning people down. Like, nah, I'm not. It's some people you just will not train though, right?
Yeah, it's some attitude, bro. Like it's just attitude, man. I'm not a disrespectful person, though. I'm talking to you to get the best out of you. But I'm not into the celebrity trainer.
I understand.
Like,
I already know what you're saying.
I'm not into that. I'm very, like, because I'm here to serve, right? I'm here to serve you. I'm here to make sure you're better.
You got to want to help yourself.
You got to want to help yourself. You feel what I'm saying? So if you ain't willing, like, that's where I'm, that's what I'm saying. It's like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, with no disrespect to anyone, I am grateful, right? Because I think gratitude is one of the greatest human emotions. Because when you're grateful for the good and the bad, bro, it's like you look at life the way we just talked about it. It's positive. You know what I mean? Because the good gives you an opportunity to say, man, there's more. The bad gives you an opportunity to say, man, there's more. There's a brighter day, right? Yeah. So I'm always grateful. I think it's understanding where, I think what I'm saying is just that I want to make sure I'm giving the right time and energy to the people that I know I can stay with or consistently, or I can put one of my team members there. And that's what I've been able to do. And I've been fortunate to do that across.
How do you deal with injuries? Because, like, it's one thing to train folk, but it take a lot of energy, it take a lot of time to do that. And in the midst of everything, like, you have to work out yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, you may get to the point where you're on a bench or something like that, and you, like, you strain your pec or something like that. So it's like, nah, I can't give everything to my client because I'm over here trying to rehab myself. So how do you deal with that and keeping yourself like if you want to demonstrate sprinting to somebody?
That ain't how that works. You gotta be ready to go.
That's what I'm saying. But what if you're not?
I'm very fortunate these last, 15 years that I've been.
Because this morning you had a little gimp.
No. You saw me.
You had a little gimp.
You saw me barefooted. I didn't have on no shoes. But I would say I treat myself like an athlete. I get body work. I do have two doctors and therapists on staff at the gym. Mm-hmm. And we travel with somebody when we're on the road with Kev. So we really take this health and wellness thing serious, bro. So it's not just a massage therapist, like a body work person that is constantly working on our body because we're training.
We're training
twice a day. You know what I mean? Like, this is
every day.
This is not social media. This is like real. Like, we wake up, we train, go through our busy days at night. We, the clubbing is out. If we ain't got no events, we in the gym. You know what I mean? And, so that's been our life. And we don't go 2-a-days every day of the year, but we do go through phases where we're in the gym. But we have, the body work is important, And constantly taking care of your body. So trying to prevent injury and training smarter, understanding that, like, I want to lose as strong as I am. I'm probably one of the strongest guys, To just be honest with you, it's not very many people that can lift the kind of weight that I lift and move the way I move and never take a drug or do anything like that.
Oh, you on some drug. You on something.
No.
You
C4.
On something.
I drink C4 energy.
Nah, you on something. It's something cheap, too. Something you can get off Amazon.
That's exactly what I do. I listen. So right now, you get older, I'm like, okay, I probably should run a little bit more. My body, I'm learning my body, adjusting.
Running, dog. That's
cardio.
Even Superman got kryptonite, bro. That running, dog, shins, just thinking about running, my back hurt, shins
hurt.
But see,
that's the part of that's the part of the supple leopard. That's the part of
the what?
The book that teaches you how to make sure that your body is the supple leopard. You're ready to move and get
active. Supple Leopard?
That's the name of the book.
Supple Leopard.
Yeah. It's a great book if you don't. But this is.
How many pages is it? I got a 30 page.
No. It's one of those ones. But it'll help you with your back.
Got to get it on audio book.
It's a medicine. It's movement medicine. It teaches. All right. You.
If I want to start running, like, I need to, like, get to the point where
you got to start walking.
Okay, I can do that.
Yep, start walking and then build up. So what you could do is you can probably run a 1 minute within your walk, run for a minute, walk for a minute.
I can do that, bro.
Yeah, bro, that's
I can run a mile.
That's running.
But it's just the consistency of it.
That's running.
What do I need to do where my back won't be hurting?
You got to go make sure you don't have no back issues with pain. Got to go see a doctor. See, I've learned that I ain't good at everything. Right, but you got to have experts and people that are around you that are better. So if something's bothering,
I'm doing my own intervention right now.
Yeah, so if something's bothering you, go see a doctor. Go make sure that you're okay.
What if they tell me I need surgery?
Well, you got to go.
I can't afford to be
For surgery.
Rehab so there's other weeks.
Yeah, you can. You can afford it because you can. But rehab. Oh, you're talking about surgery? Yeah. Yeah, of course. I understand what you're saying. But, bro, you're making a lot of excuses right now.
Those are reasons. Spice.
Yeah, no. Those are excuses.
The reasons.
No, it's excuses. But it's okay. I knew that. That's what I said when before you even got here. I said, you a man, you know, that got an excuse. But you're going to do the work. I give you that. But you got an excuse. You're going to say
I'm going to complain about it.
You're going to complain. That's
I'm going to complain about it.
You're going to complain. That's the word, complain.
You're going to know, man.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I appreciate you.
Yo, Spice, I appreciate you, man.
Off the grid, Spice Adams, my dog boss, Everline, man, I appreciate you, man.
Off the grid.
Good talk. Off the grid, baby. I'm off the grid, and I'm off the grid iron.
Ooh, I like
double
that.
Double entendre.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? We out here.
Spice spiced it up on us today.
You know what I'm saying?
Spicy.